appreciate it. Oh, is this recorded?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, 26 years with Disney. And it was a good experience because I was there. I started in 68. And so Walt Disney died in 66, and he was a social conservative, very socially conservative. A lot of folks say, well, was he a Christian? Well, a lot of his lifestyle was Christian. I don't know if he was a Christian. But a lot of his lifestyle was very in line with the Bible. And so it's changed. I still continue to teach there. They let me in, believe it or not. Yeah, to the management there. So God is still using that. Yeah, so tonight, I mean this morning, I'm usually doing night studies. how many of you were expecting a word on prophecy? Word on prophecy. How many? Okay, good. I just want to know. Two of you. Three, maybe three. And why don't we pray before we begin the word? So, Father, Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit to help us sort these things out because we know you are faithful. And we know that you will minister to your body. According to the needs that are here, Lord, we just want to be right in tune with you and what it is that you want to speak forth this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said together.
Amen.
Okay. I'm not going to assume that everybody's Christian here. There may be somebody that isn't. And whoever that is, God has his hand on you. And he wants to touch you and help you with that. First of all, Jesus is Lord. He's on the throne. And as you heard Alan pray up here, may the rapture happen soon. And that's our prayer. Because the reality is that things are getting worse. And despite many, even within the church, this proclamation that things are going to get better is not line up with Scripture. And we need to be true to the Scripture first. What does the Bible have to say about these days that we live in? And Daniel recognized what was going on in his day. You heard of Daniel? Good. Two of you have. How many of you heard Daniel? Let's see your hands. Okay, good. Most of you have. And he, of course, God touched him to at a point in history where God wanted to use him to as part of his plan to bring forth Israel back into the land because they had been exiled. They had been driven out of Jerusalem. Jerusalem had been leveled by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 B.C. And so about 50 years after Jerusalem was destroyed, about 70 years after the desolations of Jerusalem began, more like 68 years, Daniel recognized that Jeremiah's prophecy, Jeremiah could have been, age-wise, a dad to Daniel. He was reading Jeremiah's scroll, and he saw that Daniel had prophesied in two passages that there would be 70 years of desolation to Jerusalem and Babylon's rule. And at the end of 70 years, then the Jews would begin to go back to Jerusalem. So he read this. This is Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 and 3. And he read this, and he got excited about it and began to pray. And he began to pray that God would fulfill his word, his promise, that at the end of 70 years, the Jews would be allowed to go back. And he began to fervently pray and ask God. He confessed his sins. He confessed the sins of Israel. And he asked God, please fulfill your word. Guys, we are in the same situation today. We are watching prophecy being fulfilled, and the church is dead. I teach quite often on prophecy, and I see glazed over faces, and it sickens me to see the church of Jesus Christ in this lukewarm attitude and indifferent attitude. Oh, tell me about me. I want to hear about me. Make my back tingle. Make me feel good. And you turn on the TV and there's these feel good preachers, and all they're talking as though life is going to continue to go on normal. And it isn't. So this is supposed to be a time of bringing encouragement to you. I saw his email. Brothers, come in for some encouragement. Guess what? You're one of those fire and brimstone type preachers.
Me?
No. Yes, he is. I've known Alan for a lot of years. It's been great. Yeah, grandfather. Yeah. I could be your grandpa too, Dan. Okay. If there was a question asked, what is the single most important biblical end times event taking place today? The most common answer would be that Israel is back in the land. I've been hearing that for years, decades. That's changed. That's no longer the most important event. There's one word that we can use to describe as the single most important end times event, and it's a plural. Convergence. I have 11 down here, but there's more than 11. What is convergence? There are a number of mutually exclusive variables, independent of one another, that are taking place at the same time. And this is called convergence. There's a timeline, and each independent variable, as it's moving forward, they are all beginning to come together at the same time. Anybody have science background here? I don't know. There you go. Blood coagulation. In order for blood to coagulate, there are 11 component parts that must be in existence at the same time for blood to coagulate. If any one of those 11 are not present, just one is missing, then your blood will not coagulate and you will bleed to death. There is a thing known as hemophilia. If you start bleeding, it's a difficult situation. Now, there are a number of things coming together right now, and they are converging. They're independent time markers, and they're coming together at the same time. And in order for Jesus to return, these events must take place at the same time. Now, there's one thing that we've been praying about this morning that is going to happen, but there is no sign that needs to take place before this event takes place. Does anybody know what that is? I know Alan does. The rapture. Correct. So, the rapture is not one of these independent variables. The rapture is not. The rapture could happen at any moment. It's imminent. That's why you heard Alan praying for it. Just like Daniel. As Daniel saw events begin to come together, he knew that, whoa, this is a... it's about time, so we need to pray. However, Daniel knew that there was a specific end. There's, at the end of 70 years, they would return. We don't know about that. We don't know that about the rapture. We cannot set a date for the rapture. No one knows the day or the hour. But as we see these time markers, independent variables, time markers, as we see them begin to come together, we know that the rapture is about to be fulfilled. It has to be consistent with Scripture. Now, I'm going to give you 11 independent time markers. 11. I'm going to go fast. So, to me, I almost know this like forwards and backwards, so I don't want to assume anything on you. But I want to do this. I don't want to dwell too long in each point. But I want to bring to your attention what the scriptures have to say about these end times and these time markers as we see them coming together right now. Now, I'm going to ask questions to you concerning each time marker, and you, based on your knowledge, if you're paying attention to the news, what's going on, either answer yes or no. Question number one. Is Israel back in the land as a sovereign nation? Yes or no?
Yes.
According to Amos 9, verses 4, by the way, there's lots of scriptures. I'm going to give you scriptures here that are not typical. Prophecy teachers don't normally bring these scriptures up, but I'm going to bring up Amos 9, 14, and 15. I'm going to read this to you concerning question number one. Is Israel back in the land as a sovereign nation? Amos 9, verses 14 and 15, God says, I will bring back the captives of my people, Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Isaiah 11:11 tells us that God will bring Israel back a second time. And the context of Isaiah 11 is the establishment of the kingdom here on earth. Israel was brought back to the land a second time in the 20th century, officially becoming a sovereign state in 1948. Okay, so Israel is back in the land a second time as a sovereign nation. And so that time marker has already been fulfilled. Second time marker. There will be, okay, I'm going to ask it as a question. Is there an inner ring of nations surrounding Israel seeking to destroy her? Yes, and the answer is yes. The inner ring, what I mean by inner ring is, are they contiguous borders to Israel? Are they neighbors? And we've got Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, in Egypt. And are they enemies of Israel today? Just as the scriptures said would take place. Psalm 83. How many of you have not heard of Psalm 83 as a prophecy? Have not? Only four of you. Five. Let's six of you. Let's go there. Psalm 83. Now, some would say, well, Psalm 83 is not a prophecy. Well, I hate to disappoint them, but it is a prophecy because the guy who wrote it is a prophet. Asaph is a prophet. He's called a seer in the book of Chronicles. And so you will hear scholars out there say, oh, no, Psalm 83 is not a prophecy. They're wrong. Verse 1. Psalm 83, verse 1, keep not silent, O God, hold not your peace, or be still, O God. It is an imprecatory prayer. It's a prayer calling out to God concerning Israel's enemies. For behold, your enemies are in tumult. Notice he refers to them as God's enemies. For your enemies are in tumult, and those who hate you have raised their heads, lifted up their heads. Verse 3, they have taken crafty counsel against your people, and consulted together against your sheltered ones. Who's God's people? Verse 4, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. I mean, pick up your daily newspaper and what do you see? Is that not what the nations around Israel are proclaiming? That they be a... the name of Israel be remembered no more? Isn't that what they're crying out? By the way, the two-state solution today that's being... How many of you have heard of the two-state solution? Four of you, five of you. Okay, so the two-state solution, what is that? The United Nations has come up with an idea that the land of Israel can be divided into two. One for the Palestinians, a state for the Palestinians, and a state for Israel. And it just so happens that the state that they want for the Palestinians is on God's land, that the Bible defines as God's land that He has apportioned for Israel. The Bible's very clear on this. Ezekiel 36, 1-6 makes it very clear that the mountains of Israel that we know today as Judea and Samaria, that they call the West Bank, it makes it very clear, God makes it very clear, this is my land and it's for Israel or the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Jews. Okay? Now, verse 4 of Psalm 83, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent, they form a confederacy against you. Is that not what is happening today, for heaven's sakes? Lebanon, Hezbollah, which controls southern Lebanon, Syria, which is currently under the Alawite Muslims, Shiite, a sect, a very moderate sect under the control of the Muslims in Syria. Then we've got Jordan, which is under the Sunni Muslims. You've got Egypt under the Sunni Muslims. They have one thing in common, these nations. They're all Islamic, and they hate Israel. And they are consulting together. They're consenting. They are forming a confederacy. And then it gives us the list of the nations, only their ancient names. As we beginning in verse 6, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites. Notice the tents of Edom and the tents of the Ishmaelites. It's interesting that the Palestinian refugees, that number in the millions at this point. Millions of Palestinian refugees, many of them living in tents. Did you know that? I've been to Jordan 3 times. They actually, when they take us on a tour, they show us where the refugees are located, and they brag about it. Here are the 1948 refugees, here are the 1967 refugees, and they're second-class citizens in Jordan, by the way. In fact, Palestinians are considered refugees, so they aren't even considered part of the particular countries, whether it be Lebanon, Syria, Jordan. Those were most of the Palestinian refugees exist, but they're considered second class, second rate, and they've been told, well, wait till we throw Israel, cast them into the sea, then you can have your land back. In other words, well, not only will you move into the West Bank, but you'll take over all of Israel. That's their idea of a two-state solution. Which is no two-state solution. They want one state. They want Israel driven out of the land. Okay, so these ancient names, let's read them. Tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites. That would be Palestinians, the Saudi Arabians, Moab and the Hagrites. Moab is Jordan. The Hagrites, we don't know for sure. It looks like Jordan, could be Egypt, don't know. Hagar was the mother of Ishmael. She was an Egyptian, so that's where you get the idea of the Hagrites. Gebel, northern Lebanon. Ammon, central, northern Jordan. Amalek, the Sinai. Philistia, the Gaza. Inhabitants of Tyre, southern Lebanon. And Assyria, which is Syria in northern Iraq, also has joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, which is Jordan. What you have here with these 10 people groups are the nations that surround Israel, basically. The inner ring. Okay? Psalm 83 identifies these 10 people groups as forming a confederacy to attack Israel. This has never been fulfilled in history. Never. You perhaps can find maybe 4 out of the 10, maybe 5 at the most, that have formed a confederacy against Israel, but not all 10. So we know Psalm 83 has yet to be fulfilled. So the second question is, an inner ring of nations exist today that are seeking to destroy Israel? The answer is yes. So we have 2 for 2. The third question, is there an outer ring of nations forming a coalition against Israel to destroy her? And the answer is yes. What outer ring? What outer ring are you talking about? Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel 38. Turn there. Ezekiel 38. And we will define this outer ring, because we call it the outer ring because none of the inner ring nations are in this outer ring group. None of them. Ezekiel 38. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now, this prince, Gog, of the land of Magog, is similar in my mind to the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, that we read about in Daniel 10. Daniel 10, we learn of these princes that are supernatural beings that are demonic. They're powerful, evil beings. How many believe that there are supernatural beings that exist around us that try to take us out? About half of us. Okay. This particular prince is over the land of Magog, and we have, this is no problem as to the identity of Magog. We go by way of the Scythians. You can go to the Hermitage in St. Petersburg. I've been there, and you can find a whole wing of that museum dedicated to describing their connection to the Scythians, the Russians. And the Scythians, you can trace to the Magogites. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Russia. So it says here that this prince over the land of Russia, verse 3, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, this prince, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, that's Russia, and I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses, horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great army with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, by Persia, which is what nation today? Iran. Ancient Iran is Persia. Ethiopia today would be Sudan. Ancient Ethiopia today is Sudan. And Libya, ancient Libya, is northern Africa. Are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, we believe to be Turkey. And the house of Togarma, that's definitely Turkey and Armenia. From the far north, all its troops, many people with you. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered against you, and be a guard for them. After many days, verse 8, you will be visited. In the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Verse 9, you will ascend coming like a storm, covering the land with a cloud, like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. Verse 10, thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. Who's the one making an evil plan? Gog, this prince, this evil prince. We can't see him. He's supernatural. He may take possession of this leader in Russia, and he will lead them down into the land of Israel. I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. Verse 11, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely. They'll be unsuspecting, as it says in the NIV. All of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates. I ask you, is that Israel today? Do they have walls up? They have walls up. Are they living in land with security? No. There's no security today. It's a land of walled villages. 400 plus miles of walls surrounding villages. Number one. Number two, they are not living in safety. And they are not secure. And they are very suspecting that they're going to be attacked. What we're reading here has not yet come to pass. We're waiting for that day to happen, and I think it's going to happen very soon. My opinion. To take plunder, verse 12, and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited. This is talking about Israel after they've been gone out of the land for a long time, like maybe 2,000 years, and now they're back in the land. Against the people gathered from the nations, who have acquired livestock goods and dwell in the midst of the land. Ezekiel 38 describes to us an outer, what I call an outer ring of nations. They're not to be confused with the inner ring of nations. The inner ring of nations that we talked about, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Egypt, are not mentioned here in Ezekiel 38. Not one of those nations is mentioned. So there's two separate things going on here, two independent variables that we talked about, time markers. There's an inner ring of nations that want to see Israel destroyed. And then there's an outer ring of nations that want to see Israel destroyed. May I remind you of former president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. I think I pronounced it correctly. He proclaimed in 2005 that they will wipe Israel off the map. And they haven't given up on that plan. Even though they're talking peace right now, it's all a bunch of lies. Don't believe a word they're saying. Rouhani is a liar. The guy who's now president, he tried to make himself look like a nice guy. He's not a nice guy. He hates God. He hates the Bible. He may not say that, but he does. He hates Israel. By the way, before I go on, God loves the Muslims, and he wants to see them saved. And according to the scriptures, they will come to the Lord. I do not see Islam as a threat. Islam will fail. Islam's not going to take over the world. Why do I say that? The Bible says that. Right, Alan?
Amen.
The Bible tells us that Israel, that Islam will be diminished. Now, I have an opinion as to how that will take place, and Israel, God will use Israel to bring that to pass. And I believe it's going to be soon. We're going to see, this is my opinion again, Israel's going to become a super state. They're going to be a nation to contend with. There'll be a world power. There's pressure right now for Israel to conform to the world. They will not. Because they know never again resounds within the mind of the Jew in Israel and the Jews even in this country that never will they allow another Holocaust again. And this is what they're being set up for right now. And our president is taking the lead. And our Congress isn't. Our Congress is supportive of Israel, but the current administration is about ready to set Israel up for a fall. Now that I've brought that up, this is from the Heritage Foundation. Putin wants to deny Israel the ultimate deterrent, which is what? Nuclear weapons. And this recent event in Syria, when John Kerry announced, he put out an offer, if Syria gets rid of their chemical weapons by next week, that's what he said, then maybe we won't attack, to paraphrase what he said. They jumped on that. Enter Vladimir Putin, head of Russia. He comes in, hey, he's using his little puppet there, Assad in Syria. Yeah, hey, go for it. And now they're going for it. And you know what part of their strategy is to, now that they're going to meet next week at a quiet Swiss lakeside resort of Lyon, officials from the UN, Russia, US, and UK will gather ostensibly to prepare for December's non-proliferation treaty conference in Helsinki. At the 10th annual Valade Club meeting, VALDAI, how is that pronounced? Alan, do you know how that's pronounced? Valdai Club meeting, Putin declared his desire to put Israeli nukes on the table as a bargaining chip with Syria and Iran in Moscow's black and white world of us against them. Iran and Syria are viewed as friends, if not allies, while Israel, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and other Arab Sunni states are considered America's geopolitical assets. Israel is being set up right now. They're going to undermine them and try to get them to give up their nukes. Israel will never give up their nukes. They won't, because they know it's over for them if they do. This is going to create tension and conflict in the region, even including putting the U.S. as a negative adjutant as we already are, but even worse so, which will corner Israel. And what happens when you corner a pit bull that's rabid in the corner? What do? They come out at you. And Israel's being forced into that position. But they're not rabid. They're very rational. And God is going to use Israel to change the configuration of the Middle East before the 7-year tribulation period. That's my opinion. Ellen and I may I've never talked to Ellen about this before. I don't know where he stands on that, but maybe we can talk about it later. But right now we see the development of this conflict that could escalate into Israel having to use her weapons to defend herself, but then would fulfill Psalm 83. And the inner ring of nations then would fall to Israel, and Israel then would diminish Islam, not wipe Islam out, but diminish Islam to the point to where they can negotiate from a position of strength to build their temple. You follow that? Right now, they could never build their temple in light of what's going on. But according to Scripture, they will be in a position where they can negotiate to build their temple on the Temple Mount. And I believe that'll be from a position of strength. That's my opinion. But I think it's very valid, and it may work. Now, Putin's decision to put Israeli deterrent on the table raises a number of questions. First, Israel is not a member of the Non-Proliferation Treaty because they don't claim to have nuclear weapons. It developed its nuclear program in the 1950s with the help of France, a member of the nuclear club. It is surrounded by enemies with huge populations who formally are in a state of war with it, with the exception of Jordan and Egypt. Iran, on the other hand, is a member of the Nuclear Proliferation Treaty, has built a massive ballistic missile arsenal, and is apparently preparing to build a nuclear bomb or to remain a nuclear weapons threshold state. Death to America, death to Israel is weekly the prayer chant in Iran. We are seeing develop right before us the very things that the Bible said would take place, and it's happening right now. So, time marker number 4. Is there an outer ring of nations that want to see Israel destroyed? The answer is yes. 4 for 4. Number 5. Is the status of Jerusalem a central focus of the surrounding nations? Oh, that was number 3. The outer ring of nations was number 3. Number 4. Are the world's nations aligning themselves against Israel? Yes. I want to read to you from Scripture that this, in fact, is supposed to take place. Because, after all, the Bible is the one that makes this clear. Zechariah 14, 1-3. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. I'll read that again. This is written 500 years before Jesus, 2,500 years ago. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people will not be cut off from the city. About half in exile, the other half will stay. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. This is describing Armageddon, which takes place during the 7-year tribulation. This is describing all the nations coming against Israel. Did you know that the United Nations, the majority of the resolutions they have passed since 1948, have been directed against who? Israel. Out of 200 nations, why is little tiny Israel picked on? You explain to me. My degree had to do with quantitative methods. I was that's easy for you to say. Statistical analyst. That's what I did this in. I was in statistics, finance, and all that stuff. And I can tell you right now, just looking at the odds of one little nation, just randomly, how is it that one little nation out of 7+ billion people in the world, a little nation of 6 million people, commands the attention of all the world's nations? What are the odds of that happening? I ask you again, are the world's nations aligning themselves against Israel? The answer is yes. That's number 4. There are 4 yeses. The Bible said that would happen, and it's happening right now. Number five, is the status of Jerusalem a central focus of the surrounding nations? Now notice I said surrounding nations. Go to Zechariah chapter 12. Do not confuse Zechariah 12, 1 to 3 with Zechariah 14, 1 to 3. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel, thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all, notice, the surrounding nations, all the surrounding peoples, when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass, and in that day I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples, the surrounding peoples. All who would heave it will surely be cut in pieces, even though all the nations of the earth would gather against her. That's sort of rhetoric. That comes later. This, right here, is now. Zechariah 12, 1 through 8, is now. Zechariah 14, 1, 2, 3 is later. Why do I say that? Because look at 12, verse 8. 7. Well, 8, just to save time. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is a feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. Notice that Israel is defending itself here. And they're winning. Zechariah 14, they're losing. You see the difference? Zechariah 12, they're winning. When is that? Now. And that will continue to happen until the tribulation. And then during the tribulation, Israel's army, what happens to it? Gone. And then Jerusalem's taken. It's ransacked. The women are ravished. They take it over. Half of the people go, leave Jerusalem into exile. That's during the tribulation. When does this take place? Now. It's been taking place since 1948. Every time they attack Jerusalem, what happens? Israel wins. That's going to continue to happen. Until when? Until Antichrist comes up to finally intervene and say, okay, Israel, hey, we give up. Let's make an agreement. And they will enter into an agreement with hell. 7 years. And then they will go through a hard time. Israel will go through a hard time, including Zechariah. You see the point? So you got an inner ring of nations, and you got an outer ring of nations. The inner ring of nations, Israel's going to defeat. In fact, they're going to defeat them to the point to weaken, and I suggest to you, cripple Islam. And that's radical. I'm telling you something radical, because it looks like Islam is gaining momentum. They filled Anaheim Stadium up the other day. 20,000 of them, that's not filling it up. 20,000 Muslims showed up at the Anaheim Stadium to celebrate one of their festivals. Dearborn, they've taken over the city of Dearborn, Michigan. Anybody know about that? They're trying to take over Seattle right now. They're trying to take over Orange County right now. You don't think that's happening? It's happening. And they're moving, and the people are mobilizing. They keep to themselves, but they're making a move. But guess what? They're going to lose. Islam will lose because it's a satanic religion. It's headed up by a demon, a very powerful demon. And they will lose. Will we see it? I think we will see the beginnings of Islam crumble. But even more exciting, according to Isaiah 19, we're going to see Egypt come to Jesus. According to Isaiah 19, where they're struggling with each other, we may be watching right now Isaiah 19 being fulfilled right before our very eyes. And according to Isaiah 19, five of their cities are going to fall to Israel. I suspect that Israel will take over the Suez Canal and in a sense be a hero to the world in this war with the inner ring. I suspect that to be true. Islam will be diminished. Israel will become... Now, just so you know, I'm not making this up. I just read to you how Saudi Arabia, of all countries, is aligning themselves with Israel. Isn't that weird? Against Iran. Saudi Arabia is afraid of Iran. It's like the Protestants and the Catholics. Iran is Shia Muslim. Saudi Arabia is Sunni Muslim. headed by the Wahhabi sect. The Shiites in Iran are controlled by the Twelvers, who are looking for a Mahdi, their Messiah. And they're at odds with one another. And Saudi Arabia wants to control Mecca and Medina. And so does Iran. Iran wants to be the new caliphate. You know what a caliphate is? Islamic dominance over the world. Just the last caliphate was with the Ottoman Turks. And when the Ottoman Turkish Empire fell, so did Islam. It's like popping a balloon. Took the air out of Islam. Islam was diminished in the 1920s. And then 1979, they came back to life. In Iran. The jihad began in Iran in 1979. How much time do I have left? Am I out of time?
No, you got about 4 minutes.
Guys, we are living in such exciting times. Where's the excitement in the church? It's happening. I'm only on point number 4. Point number 5 is the status of Jerusalem, the central focus. Oh yeah, we did that. We're on 5. Is the status of Jerusalem the central focus of the surrounding nations? It is. Did you know that right now Islam is chanting that the next caliphate will be headquartered where? In Jerusalem. It's not going to happen. They're going to try. Israel's going to work with them a little bit. Israel's going to get their temple on the Temple Mount, and they're going to give up the outer court to Islam. They're going to do that. And they're going to want to look like the good guys, even though they can take anybody out. Point number 6. Do we find an increase in persecution for those who support Israel? Yes. It's happening right now in this country. If you support Israel's right to the land, including the West Bank, you are a Zionist, and you are on the enemy's list, even of our own country. You are identified as a radical, simply by believing them. Simply by believing the Word of God, you are considered a radical. If you believe that the Jews, God owes the land of the Jews, and that He wants to give them all that land, including the West Bank, including the Gaza Strip, then you are a radical. And I believe this is what Antichrist will use to persecute true believers. One of the things that he will use. Of course, knowing Jesus, if you confess Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you also will be attacked. Okay. We do find an increase in persecution concerning the land. Joel chapter 3, verse 2. Tells us the following: I will gather all the nations and will bring them down in the valley of Jehoshaphat, just outside of Jerusalem, and there will I deal with them and execute judgment upon them on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land, and that's happening right now. The United Nations is trying to divide up Israel's land. The U.S. is leading the charge right now. And they build, as they build settlements, the U.S. gets all upset, stop building settlements. Israel says we have a right to build settlements because our families are growing and we want our children to be able to live in their own homes. You follow what's going on? That's normal. Wouldn't you want your children to move into a home down the street from you? We can't do that because it's in occupied territory. Okay, point number 7. Is there a false religious system seeking to destroy Israel? There is, and it's growing. The Vatican's sort of leading the charge. The current Pope is not a friend of Israel. Most popes have not been a friend of Israel. Most of them. And they see Jerusalem as an international city. So they aren't going to support Israel's right to have Jerusalem as their capital. So the answer to that one is yes. There is a false religious system. And it's not just the Roman Catholic Church. You got Protestants in there. You got Muslims in there. You got Hindus. You got them all in there that are against Israel simply because they disagree with God's plan. That's the bottom line. Number 8. Our world's moral conditions worsening and becoming more like Sodom and Gomorrah. Do I need to answer that one for you? I can take you to the scriptures. Luke 17, 26 to 30 tells us that there will be a worsening in the world's moral conditions. Number 9, are the world's governments seeking a unified economic system? Revelation 13, 16, and 17 tells us that there will be a system whereby you need a mark on the back of the hand and the forehead in order to buy or sell. If you don't have that mark, then you can't buy or sell. The world right now is working in that direction. By the way, the world today speaks one language. Did you know that? Just as at the Tower of Babel there was one language, that God confused the languages, today we're back to one language. What is it? What form does it come in? Binary code. Right? Zeros and ones. Those of you who have computer background, you know about zeros and ones. Every country in the world uses zeros and ones to communicate. Pretty soon you're going to be able to take a machine, speak into it in English, and out the other end will come Japanese. Won't that be a great... They're already working. That's already there. It's just a matter of making it, bringing it about. Wouldn't you like to speak to your neighbor next door in English and have it come out Spanish? Wouldn't that be great? I'm not bilingual. I wish I could speak Spanish. My neighbors, they speak fluent Spanish, and they're beautiful people. I can't talk to them most of the time. I can talk to the children because they're learning English in school. There you have it. There is the G8 and the G20 are seeking to bring a unified economic system. That's what they're doing. Antichrist will unify. Number 10, do we see changes for worse in world weather patterns? Luke 21, 25, Matthew 24, 7 and 8 tell us that the weather patterns will worsen. The seas will roar and toss to and fro, Luke 21:25. There will be famines, usually the result of a change in weather patterns. We see that. And finally, are there world earthquakes? Are they increasing in size and frequency? I handed out a piece of paper with that information for you, taken from U.S. Geological Survey. About 15 years ago, I used to stand up quoting information out of Hal Lindsey's book. Yes, they've increased in frequency. I was wrong. I had a geologist call me out on it. This is a family camp. And there was a geologist there who was very familiar. He came and says, hey, brother, you might double check your figures. I said, well, I got them from Hal Lindsey. He said, you better check with U.S. Geological Survey in Boulder. So I did, and I found out I was wrong. And so... these are right out of the U.S. Geological Survey. Look, those of you that understand statistics, do you see a pattern at all? Doesn't it look exponential to you? Look at it. The average number of 7.0 or greater earthquakes since 1940 have been between 2.5 and 3.0. And there was an unusual silence there in the 1980s, only 0.8 7.0 or greater earthquakes during the decade of the 80s. Only 0.8 per year. Less than one earthquake per year during the 80s. Look what happens in the late 90s. 98, 6, 99, 9. And then we jump into the decade of the 2000s, 2000 to 2009. It jumps up to 11.7. And in the first 3 years of this next decade we're in, 2010 to 2012, 18 plus earthquakes per year. Guys, these are the last days. We are in the last days. They're converging, all these variables independent of each other. They're coming together at the same time. We are close. The rapture is soon. Father, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to hear our prayers as we beseech you concerning these end times. You told us that as we see these things begin to happen. Another way to say it, as we see these things converge, as they converge and they come together at the same time, you told us to look up for our redemption draws nigh. Lord, that you would help us to do just that, that we would look up because we know that our redemption draws nigh. We thank you. Come, Lord Jesus. May your rapture happen soon. Call us up into the clouds, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.